fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
You might not ever consider stroke a risk to your health, but the choices you might make today can greatly decrease your risk of stroke in the future. Here's a talk about lifestyle choices and reducing your risk of stroke. Here's Rebecca Reynolds, Acting Clinical Nurse Consultant from the North Metro Health Service. Welcome, Rebecca.
Morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being with us. To start us off, we're going to start with the basics. What is a stroke?
To put it simply, a stroke is a lack of blood supply within the brain. This causes brain cells to die due to a lack of oxygen and nutrients. It normally happens because of a sudden blockage of the arteries within the brain, which is called an ischemic stroke. Otherwise, it can be when a blood vessel within the brain bursts, causing bleeding into the brain tissue, which is a hemorrhagic stroke. You can also have a transient ischemic attack, which is often called a mini stroke or a TIA. This is when you have the symptoms of a stroke, but the symptoms disappear generally within a few minutes to hours, and they do this all without causing any brain tissue damage. But with a TIA, even though the symptoms do completely recover, and it may only last a few minutes, this is seen as a warning sign for a future stroke, so it should still be taken seriously.
Killing some brain cells sounds pretty full on. What are some of the long-term effects that might be caused after a stroke?
So the effects of a stroke largely depend on what part of the brain is damaged, because different parts of the brain control different areas and functions. So the easiest way to see if someone's having a stroke is to use the term FAST, which is F for face. So with this, we're looking for any facial droop. You can ask the person to smile, as this makes it more obvious. You can also get them to poke out their tongue, see if it drifts to one side or the other, but you're just looking for any difference in the left and right side. And then A for arm. So this is to check for any limb weakness. So this includes the leg as well. But this, you can get the person to squeeze their hands, lift their arm up against gravity. But again, you're just seeing if the left and right side is equal, if one's weaker than the other. And then S for speech. So you can get the person to say a sentence. It can be something very simple, like their name or their address. You know, you can show them your phone and ask them to name the object, anything like that. So with this, we're just looking, is their speech slurred? Is the person making sense, or are they speaking gibberish? And do they seem to understand what you're saying? Are they able to follow these simple instructions? Because sometimes words can get quite muddled in their brain if they're having a stroke. So that's quite a common symptom as well. And then T for time. So time is always very critical. You need to ring 000 straight away. Alert them that you think the person is having a stroke and just describe their FAST symptoms.
So FAST, face, arm, speech and time if you think someone is having a stroke. Why is early intervention required for a stroke for the best possible outcome?
A stroke is always a medical emergency. Time is very critical because when brain cells do die, they die at a very rapid rate. So for example, when you have an ischemic stroke, there will be a necrotic core surrounded by damaged but savable brain tissue. So if no treatment occurs, that damaged tissue will die. But if we're able to remove the course of the blockage quick enough, that tissue can be saved. This is done via two ways. So we can either use a clot-busting medication, or the person can have an endovascular clot retrieval, which is when neurointerventionists use guided wires to remove that clot. Both are time-dependent, and the outcome for the person will be better if it's done quicker. You know, at Sir Charles Gardner, we get to see amazing outcomes for patients who present to the hospital. You know, dense weakness, non-verbal, in the past would have required full care for the rest of their life. Now these patients are discharged home independently within a few days because of these treatments.
Wow, so you can mitigate lifetime effects just by acting fast and using a couple of techniques in the hospital to help them out real fast.
Yeah, definitely. The outcomes are amazing nowadays.
Incredible. Are you more likely to have a stroke if a family member has had a stroke in the past?
There's not a large link. You can share similar lifestyle risk factors would probably be the major thing. In certain clotting disorders and other conditions such as hypertension, which is high blood pressure or high cholesterol, can be inherited. But the main link would be those similar lifestyle risk factors.
Interesting. So lifestyle factors are quite often similar within family groups, but it's probably not genetic or your risk of stroke.
Yeah, it's not a big link.
Interesting. First of all, is it rare for a young person to have a stroke?
So stroke doesn't discriminate with age. About 25% of stroke survivors are of working age, so obviously on the younger side. And the rates of stroke in younger people do seem to be on the increase, which is thought to be largely due to these poor lifestyle choices. You know, things like illicit drugs, such as cocaine, meth, are very strong risk factors. Also, any sudden trauma to your neck, such as whiplash, and obviously the younger population is a bit more active. So this can cause trauma to your neck vessel, forming a clot and flicking off to your brain. So this is also a risk for young people. But the main thing to remember with young is that you can, no matter your age, you can always have a stroke. So if you have any of the fast signs, you need to present to hospital immediately and treat it very seriously.
Absolutely. What are some of the lifestyle choices people can make early to decrease their chance of a stroke in the future?
Yeah. So the main risk factors for a stroke are high blood pressure, smoking, high blood cholesterol, diabetes, heavy alcohol use and binge drinking, and any existing heart and blood vessel disease, as well as having previous strokes or TIAs and just increasing age. So it's good to get on to reduce your lifestyle risks early, which can be done just having regular checkups at your GP. So this helps you maintain healthy blood pressure, blood sugar and blood cholesterol levels. And you're just following your doctor's advice and taking any medications that's prescribed. You know, don't smoke or quit smoking if you do. Lots of information on that on the quit line. Having a healthy diet of foods low in saturated fat and salt. Being physically active, trying to get that 30 minutes every day. You know, drinking alcohol only in moderation and just maintaining a healthy body weight. There's a lot of information on the Stroke for Nation website on reducing your stroke risk, which will be worth a look at as well.
Very interesting. Exercise and moderating your eating and drinking lifestyle, of course, balance is key. To surmise, what advice would you give people surrounding stroke?
Well, they say 80% of strokes are preventable. So, you know, just really trying to reduce your lifestyle risk factors are a major thing and starting early.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for being with us today to talk about strokes, Rebecca.
All right, thanks very much for having me.
Just there, a chat with the North Metro Health Service Acting Clinical Nurse Consultant, Rebecca Reynolds. Today we're learning all about strokes on the Fitter, Happier segment, how to mitigate the risks early, and lifestyle choices you can make to get a step ahead in the future.